It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland hanging along with Daniel Pryor once again today. And Daniel, this week, a very interesting topic. I guess it's something you're seeing more and more in your practice as you're dealing with families and children. And that's the whole area of gaming addiction, kids being addicted to video games. And we're going to kind of discuss, I think, some interesting things people maybe didn't know about, a lot of the physiology, the brain chemistry that is connected to this. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Your show.
Mark, glad to be here on my show.
On your show. And always talking about coaching issues, counseling issues. Of course, you have offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. We'll talk more about that here in just a moment. But maybe people... parents, grandparents, notice those kids can't get away from their video games. And this is something that has concerned you as well. You've done a lot of research and looking into this subject. Talk about, first of all, origin and nature.
The origin and nature of this kind of, what Luke's talking addiction, and I think a lot of parents don't realize that it's an addictive behavior. And indeed, there is a problem. And I've heard recently just stories of people in their early 20s who are winding up in actually inpatient treatment programs. One fellow that I had heard of that had was a fairly good student in school, but even when he got into college, the gaming thing just began to take over his life, and he flunked out of college and he lost his job and he wound up in an inpatient treatment. And this is just...
For
gaming addiction. Well, you know, the brain doesn't know if it's gaming or if it's something else. All the brain is concerned about is the amount of dopamine that's produced by the behavior. So it doesn't matter if it's drugs or a Game Boy to the brain. Mm-hmm. And so the behavior is not necessarily anything that's immoral. But it's an addiction when it begins to take over and this behavior begins. Actually, as we trace through here, it actually becomes a survival behavior, which we'll talk about. And that's when it's dangerous, when something that should be just a casual amusement becomes a survival behavior. That's when it's dangerous.
Yeah, well, before we went on there today, you again were talking about the difference between dopamine and another one, oxytocin. In our previous world, where people didn't have access to these games, these were kind of more minor elements in a child's development, but they've become just on speed now almost.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, as we talk a little bit about oxytocin, which is a hormone that is I kind of refer to it as a hormone with a memory because it associates with different areas of the brain somehow through different pathways and it relaxes muscles and lowers blood pressure, and so our brain associates with the presence of oxytocin with a good state. But it's not like dopamine where there's a rush, almost like a sugar rush. You know, we can think of dopamine, a rush of pleasure, and then it secedes. Oxytocin is kind of more present, long sustained. I call it, you know, the hormone with the memory because it associates these different areas of the brain, and then I actually recall certain behaviors as being pleasant.
Gives you kind of a stable worldview or whatever.
Well, you can look at it that way. The psychological side of it is, things are more controlled. Mm-hmm. Things are more secure, actually.
Secure.
Mm-hmm. And safe. And so we think back generations back where oxytocin in the brain would say, you know, kids grew up on the farm or in maybe more rural areas, and there were activities outside of the home, climbing through the woods, building things, even chores could have brought pleasure, in that they would have with the help of oxytocin, they would have been familiar, they would have seemed safe, they would have seemed secure, they would have seemed, you know, it's called the cuddle hormone.
Predictable. The real world.
Yeah. But now what we've got is these highly stimulating behaviors and things, which what they do is they release, they cause a release of dopamine, which the flooding of dopamine into the pleasure centers. And so what the brain does is homework comes along. Well, homework is anxiety. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the Game Boy, say, for example, is dopamine. So the brain interprets that Game Boy as this as actually a survival behavior, an actual survival behavior over the anxiety. So what are you going to do? Well, you're going to go toward the survival behavior, and then that's reinforced. And so what then happens is the brain does not release dopamine for some of these lesser, what we would have called normal,
the mundane
activities.
Things of life. Yeah. Yeah,
there isn't any dopamine involved. Mm-hmm. In, there used to be, but at lower levels. And the oxytocin was maybe more active.
Well, young people typically they lack a vision and purpose, and they're moldable. Mm-hmm. But now they're getting stimulated at younger and younger ages by these just incredible fantasy worlds.
Mm-hmm. Right. We talk about maybe the environment, because I think a lot of parents would be interested in knowing. Well, how does it get started? You know, how does it become a trigger in the first place? So there's an environment that these things can happen in, and of course it's an environment of you say there's a lack of basically a lack of vision. The parents somehow are teaching this because you know, in their own ways, parents can maybe be living life on autopilot, and they're not talking to their children, and so children kind of get this sense of their life as we're growing up. I think this is typical. As we're growing up, there's the adult world, and then there's my world as a child. And if the adult is not communicating in some way, and it has to be age appropriate, certainly, but if the adult is not communicating in some way about how helping me to integrate their life with my life and see how that, you know, there's a connection there, then there's this danger of sort of bifurcating. Say, well, there's the adult world, and then there's my world that's actually more real to me. Mm-hmm. And so if that continues, then, you know, it's hard for the child to have a sense of purpose and vision, and because they don't see the connecting points of
life.
In the real world.
As they try to enter an adult world, they're unable to.
You see this a lot in kids that are growing up, and they be in grade school, they do okay. In junior high, they don't do quite as good. And then in high school, they completely fall off the wagon because they don't really see the connection between what they're doing in that school and life outside their parents' life. There isn't a synthesis there.
And the world doesn't revolve around them. They're finding out more and more, and that's painful. Mm-hmm. And they've been in their own virtual world all this time. Is this, parents tend to, I mean, I don't have children, but I see it and I understand it. They kind of like the video game as sort of like the de facto babysitter or something to occupy the time of the child. Of course, it used to be more just the television, but now it's more the actual video gaming, using that as kind of like a babysitter.
And that's something that we as parents have to keep our eye on and realize that the problem isn't just in my child right now. The problem is in my own life. Again, maybe my inability to integrate my work life and my family life with my worldview and not communicate that to my kids. And it takes work. It is work. And, but then, you know, I think that one of the things that this whole thing of gaming addiction is bringing to the forefront is just reminding us once again that parenting is a lot of work.
It is,
but it is our main job. You know, if we have kids, parenting is our top priority. And it is a lot of, we have to put work into it. You can't put parenting on autopilot. You know, I talk a little bit about how the parenting role evolves as our kids get older. So we have to think of things to teach our kids and ways to help them integrate what they're doing in life in the same worldview that I have, you know, and that takes some creativity and some imagination on the part of the parents. And we're constantly working because as the child grows, the formula has to change a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's work.
Let's identify when is gaming an addiction and how does that process work?
It's an addiction when it's repeatedly dictates my behavior repeatedly dictates my life in such a way that I'm neglecting and things that I should do and know I ought to do and should do. We talked about the the whole survival aspect. And so we think of survival as security and familiarity and comfort and confidence and those things. And so when I'm facing unpleasantness like boredom or homework, and that's creating an anxiety and adrenaline. So this adrenaline is the neurotransmitter that is building tension, increase of blood pressure, heart rate, all these kinds of things that push me towards some kind of activity. So I'm looking for a way out. And then the way out becomes, is it going to be the homework? Not if I've got a Game Boy there that's going to generate a lot of dopamine. Uh-huh. So the dopamine gets associated with survival. Survival of what? Well, again, familiarity, comfort, confidence, security, those kinds of things.
I can face the world as long as I got my Game Boy.
Yeah. But think of all the things that homework is not generating, once I've found, kind of this other avenue. So it doesn't, the homework is generating, or the chores, they're generating anxiety, even maybe time around the table with the family and talking. That's generating anxiety. Well, what is certainly not generating is dopamine, because if I've started with this game and that's creating the surge of dopamine, the mind doesn't even bother to create any dopamine about just sitting and talking to mom and dad and that.
Or beautiful or beauty outside and nature. Yeah. That's the main result I see from a lot of this gaming is that kids aren't outside doing stuff mm-hmm. much anymore. Mm-hmm. They used to just like to get out and play in the yard and get out and do things with the dog or whatever.
Yeah, they know that those kinds of activities no longer stimulate. Mm-hmm. So we're just numb to the pleasure that, and that's part of when we talk about repairing the problem.
So what is a recovering gamer look like? What is that? What is somebody?
Well, think of withdrawal symptoms.
There will be.
There certainly will be. Yeah. And I think that this is one of the reasons that parents, understandably, just don't want to face that monster, because it's a battle. It's an absolute battle for time. But it's what we're actually doing is we're reconditioning the brain. We're going to start to deprive the brain of a certain behavior that's creating a whole lot of dopamine, to the point, as long as it takes, to where the brain will begin to generate dopamine because of some other behaviors. Mm-hmm. And part of that has to do with the narrative that we'll talk about.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're coming up to a break here in a minute. This is a very interesting subject, very contemporary subject, and a serious subject. And what's interesting about a lot of it's chemical. It's brain chemistry mm-hmm. because of this high stimulation activity going on in young people's lives now. And how do we change course? We'll talk about that here in just a moment. We're talking on Sound Mind today, of course, with Daniel Pryor. Now, you have a website where people can get in touch with you.
Through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com, they can email. Phone number is 425-778-6169.
And you've mm-hmm. actually dealt with this quite a bit with families and young people and talked to them.
Well, I deal a lot with addictions. This is mm-hmm. kind of a new thing that's coming along where parents are recognizing that it's a problem, and then now they're looking for it. In the past we've seen a lot of, my child can't study, my child won't do chores, but then now we're looking at, well, why would they? They've got this become an addiction. Actually.
This incredible virtual world they're living in. Of course, Daniel has his offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. Again, BibleBasedCounselor.com for more information, and listen to past programs there too of the Sound Mind broadcast. We'll be back with more with Sound Mind and Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland hanging along as well with Daniel today. Very interesting subject of gaming addiction. We talked a little bit about some of the brain chemistry that's going on with these games at young ages and how oxytocin and dopamine get fired up at unrealistic levels. Now we want to talk about how to maybe steer kids in a different direction. Mm-hmm. You were saying during the break, too, if at all even possible, Don't even let them near them for a long time. Kind of ease them into this world if people can.
Yeah, they've become such a reality and such almost a necessity in our world. And one of the concerns that I have is that kids are beginning to live in a world that's more a world of dreams than goals, and more a world of fantasy than reality. You know, the shows mm-hmm. we look at, and what was that? There was a movie about. A world where there was popular a decade ago or so.
The Matrix?
I keep wanting to call it Vivitar. That's not the name of it.
But Avatar.
Avatar, yeah.
Yeah, that was even actually, higher level.
People actually came out of the theater crying.
Yeah. That was the biggest movie yeah. financially of all time.
Yeah, and it, because it came out crying because they just believed that there must be a place. So it's this, in our minds, fantasy is beginning to replace reality. Mm. But so we live in the world where these things are such a reality. So, for parents to think, how can I steer my kid clear of these things? But I think if we catch it early on and just recognize when you've got little toddlers, that we can't let them grow up in
the
in
virtual
status
world.
Quo. Yeah, you can look at a certain toy, let's say, and it's a toy that occupies the kid's, the child, the boy or the girl, and say, if I can just leave Johnny or Susie with that toy, I can get a lot of housework done. But what we're not paying attention to is what we've talked about in the last segment, that addictive, what's happening in the brain. What's actually happening in the brain in terms of the neurotransmitters, and I can get that kid hooked on a particular behavior. It can actually be in the brain
Let me ask you: Is it boys that struggle with this more than girls, or is it about equal offender if they're both involved?
That's a good question. I don't think I have an answer for that. I think in some ways they might not be games, but when I'm driving in traffic, I see young girls texting on their phone a lot more than I see young
but
guys.
But it's kind of a different virtual world. It's kind of their perfect social, Facebook and all that.
It's still a reward behavior. Mm-hmm. It's still a reward behavior. So in terms of Game Boys and things like that, I think if kids do well at it, they're going to be, whether it's a girl or a boy, if he or she does well at it, then it's going to become more of an addictive behavior, more mm-hmm. of a survival behavior, because the brain will give them that rush of dopamine. If I don't do well at it, then I'm not going to get the dopamine rush.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get
not all kids are going to get addicted to games.
No, if they don't do well at it, the problem mm-hmm. is because of peer pressure and that sort of thing. Kids are going to try to do well at it, mm-hmm. and if they don't do well at that, maybe they'll pick another. Addicted because the commonality here in all the addictions is I'm looking for a way around things that generate a bit of anxiety, like even boredom, And so, we're living in this, virtual, almost a virtual reality here where kids are being conditioned to look for something external to the real world to kind of be satiated with. So I may not be good at gaming, but the idea is if I'm, I've got to be good at something. It's got to be something virtual. So a lot of kids, maybe if they're not good at gaming, they'll just retreat inside and have some other thing that creates that same dopamine. None of it healthy. So it's some. I guess what I'm saying there is that whether the child seems to be attracted toward particular games or television or this and that, there's always it's more important because there's always a tendency for the child to go toward a behavior that's going to produce more dopamine. And it's up to the parents then to monitor those things, because what we're trying to do is grow the child up to where, as we talked in the previous segment, the oxytocin is more of a factor than that heavy rush of dopamine. So mm-hmm. can be.
Well, then obviously parents need to be involved in their kids' lives. Mm-hmm. And we need to really kind of control kids' access to these things.
Being involved in the child's life, it seems difficult for parents that are, that they have jobs and they're working long hours or a lot of responsibilities. But again, it's our top priority. You have to be involved in the child's world because that will help them to integrate good activities into their worldview. So you are involved in their activities, whether it's a an alternative thing, which is, and they have to be age appropriate. So maybe they're in early life, it's you're involved with the kids in games. And then maybe a little later on, junior high or high school, you're involved in their projects. Mm-hmm. So that they're integrating the things that they're doing, those healthy activities, with a broader world with
relating
view.
To the yeah. other the outside world.
And then eventually they're in college age, and maybe you're taking them out for coffee, but mm-hmm. you know you're involved in their activities. Some other alternative activities, creative toys. I was always fascinated. Erector sets, but the Erector sets sure. have changed now, and there's these Cubula were these toys. I think they're still around. We had a bunch that we bought our daughter, and they're these clear capsules with mm-hmm. gears in them, and you can put batteries in them and make them turn them into boats or airplanes or cars or whatever, and they sort of propel. You know, creative toys, the YMCA, challenging projects, you know, mm-hmm. Building models or something, things mm-hmm. that you build, things
well,
that
so
you
kids
create.
Have always had things that they that to bring creativity, mm-hmm. Creative outlet. But this gaming thing is a whole nother level mm-hmm. that is so much more immersive, and that seems to be the problem.
Well, and again, it's back to you know the brain learning that there's this rush of dopamine mm-hmm. if I do this game, mm-hmm. and we have to control our brain. We have to just say no to that, and it's earlier to catch it. It's better to catch it early on, but we have to say, mm. you know, that dopamine feels good, but it's not good for me in those kinds of doses.
Well, you say just getting a routine in the household is just bringing back chores,
absolutely,
and being involved in the family.
regular dinner time, regular meal time.
That's a big one.
Regular activities that, of course, the kids are going to struggle against them. But again, it's a training program, and I'm actually, you know, we're training our children, but we're actually training their brains and training and rewiring the brain. You know, we're dealing with trying to reduce those times when there's a huge, you know, rush of dopamine and kind of get it back to normal where it's supposed to be, where there's dopamine there, but not in these great surges. And so it's, you know, it's sort of like, well, you know, I always often draw the analogy between, you know, Snicker bars and bananas, you know. Hmm. Well, how successful is that going to be? Well, we're not going to have Snicker bars, we're going to have bananas. Of course, I'm always going to want the Snicker bar, but it's a matter of training my brain that there's a downside after the Snicker bar, but not after the banana. So the temptation will always be there.
And kids don't know. That's why the parent needs to be the parent and, mm-hmm. and interject and mm-hmm. and steer them.
Yeah, and the child will always, I think, resist. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell people when kids start going into high school that, you know, so, you know, they're 13 or 14 or something like that, I say to the parent, okay, well, just buckle up because, you know, you got 4 tough years, and just mark it off in the calendar. There's going to be 4 tough years because nobody, no kid is going to want to stick, you know, put their nose to the grindstone and take care of business when they can have a game or when they can, you know, fib a little bit and get away without doing the homework. So mm-hmm. it's a chore. And you can't leave it on autopilot.
Well, you say here too, don't use games as a reward.
No, I had a parent ask me, you know, if they get all their homework done and this and that, then can I give them the Game Boy? And it should always have a time limit because it doesn't matter what time of day you give it to them, they're going to get the dopamine rush, and then it's going to become a survival behavior, as we talked about before. So parents say, well, can they have it on the weekend? Well, once again, if it spikes that dopamine, then it's going to be in their brain. It's going to be a survival behavior. Mm-hmm. So we've got to limit it. Any weekends or whatever, it's got to be limited. It should not be used as a reward. Then all you're doing is turning it into a survival behavior. So here's one thing that we can do. These things are invasive or pervasive in our culture. And are we going to be very successful at telling our kids you will never have a game box or Xbox or a Game Boy? Probably not. But the child should be able, and the parent with the child, you should be able to list the pros and cons of that toy. Hmm. Now, there are some benefits to it. I mean, it's good for certain brain activities.
Well, and the world we're living in, too, is just more and more computerized, mm-hmm. and kids need to know their way around.
Yeah. But the use of it should never outweigh its pros. And you know, I made a rule for myself some years ago, and I was staying up, it's been a couple of decades ago, but staying up until 4 o'clock at night, every night playing chess because I was playing male chess with people. And so, you know, if you have 72 hours or whatever, however, to make a move, you don't wait till the last minute. You're actually playing, you know, you know, 24/7 until up to that time to make sure you've making just the right move. It began to take over my life. So I had to make a rule.
So you had a chess addiction for a while?
Yeah. So it was taking over my life. So I had to make a rule. And the rule was, okay, is it good for you? Yes, it is good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then the use should never outweigh the benefit. Mm. So I assigned myself one game per day, no more. So I'm getting the benefit out of it, but then I'm putting the kibosh on it. There's a limit. Doesn't matter how well you do or how poorly you do. One game a day, that's it. Or one game a week, something like that. Yeah. So there should be a time limit on it, and it should reflect the benefit of it, no more. And then, get kids this way. We have a better chance of getting the child in a situation where there's actually some dopamine being generated when they're doing chores,
just normal things. Yeah,
yeah. When they're out with the family, when they're in a healthy social environment, hearing something, maybe even a sermon, they're getting some dopamine, some joy out of that
from the normal things of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what these games we've noticed they do. They just kind of suck all the dopamine out of the room or whatever out of the brain. So, a very interesting phenomenon in our 21st century culture. Games do teach some skills. Obviously, if you're going to run a drone aircraft, I don't know how else you would learn how to run one of those. But most kids aren't going to be running drone airplanes in the military.
Right.
So there are applications and obviously computers and things, but it does need to be steered by the parents. Mm-hmm. So don't shy away from this, folks. If people need some help with this, they've got a kid who's struggling with this in their family, or kid maybe needs to come in and talk to you. How do they do that?
My website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. You can contact me and email there. And, of course, the phone number is 425-778-6169.
You can also find out more about Daniel and Sound Mind and his services on our website at KCISradio.com. And also, you're archiving your programs, too, still at Bible Based Counselor now.
You can find the podcasts for these shows at the BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Okay, always interesting discussions with Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor. The broadcast is Sound Mind on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.